Acts chapter number 8. Going to read a story about baptism, a true story that happened. Learn some things about baptism. You know, you really don't build your doctrine for any doctrine. You don't build it in the book of Acts. There were a lot of exceptions to the rules in the book of Acts. And even tonight as we're looking at our story, there's many things that do are consistent with baptism. But there's one area here that was a little bit different than the way baptism was. And you just want to be careful on building a doctrine on when God did something exceptional. And we'll look at that tonight, why he did what he did. And it was a little bit different. But the Bible says in Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 26, "The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is in the desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasure, had come to Jerusalem to worship." Now notice, this Ethiopian eunuch had come to Jerusalem to worship. And we assume that he was worshiping God. He was worshiping the God of Israel. The Bible goes on and says he was returning. So he'd been to Jerusalem, probably maybe have even been there for Passover. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran thither unto him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understand thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare that his generation, for his life is taken from the earth?" And the eunuch answered and Philip and said, "Pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man?" Verse number 35 says, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing." This is a beautiful story about a man who came to Jerusalem to worship. And so what we understand from this scripture is that eunuch was under conviction. He was seeking for God. Now, when we say somebody is seeking for God, we really mean the opposite of that. God was seeking for him. God was dealing on his heart. And I think I've used my own example in life before. As a teenage boy, God started dealing with my heart, and I started trying to figure out how I could find God. If you would have asked me back then, I would have kind of told you I was looking for God. But it started with an inward desire. Now, where did that come from? I didn't just wake up one day and all of a sudden get spiritual. It was really the Holy Spirit of God dealing with me. And so I started doing a lot of religious things. And you know what I was trying to do? I was trying to worship God. But I was trying to worship God without a knowledge of God. And it was during that time, I was seeking God, but now I know that it was God seeking me and God drawing me. And I met the girl who invited me to go to church with her, went to church with her that night and sat in the balcony and heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and realized I was a sinner, realized I needed to get saved, and went forward that night and trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Now, I would like to tell you that I started living for God right then, but I didn't. All I got that night was the gospel. And I thank God for a man like Philip who went further than that with this man. And so tonight we want to look at a few things about this man. We're not going to spend a lot of time on it because we're going to have our baptismal service, and I'll get you home hopefully at a reasonable hour tonight. So let's pray. Father, as we come together tonight and we get to practice one of the ordinances, the ordinance of scriptural baptism, Lord, there's so many people that have this so mixed up today. And it's just sad that we can't look in the Bible and see what the Bible teaches. And I pray, dear God, that you would help us tonight. Help us to learn the truths of baptism. And I pray that in everything that you would get the glory and the honor out of our lives. And pray that you'd bless once again these two that are going to follow you tonight. And then, Lord, hopefully next week we'll have two more follow you. And Lord, I just pray that you'd bless the folks around here that do follow the Lord in believers' baptism, that they realize the seriousness of it, as not only do they declare their public profession of faith in you, that they also commit themselves to live for you. Please help us in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a wonderful story, and it is a beautiful story. And there's the only problem, and when I say a problem, the only problem that people take from this story is because the Ethiopian eunuch got baptized right away, the way he did, they think that's the way that baptism should be done. But how many times in the scripture do you read where somebody like Philip, who they call Philip an evangelist, or the Bible calls him an evangelist, and a lot of people think this is what evangelism is, and he went out, led of the Holy Spirit of God, he went out to a man who was under conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, and that man got saved. And then as they were traveling along, we'll look at this in a minute, as traveling along, Philip baptized him and sent him on his way. But how many times in the scripture do we read of baptism happening with just one man, two men there? How many times? Only case in the whole Bible. Everywhere else where baptism was, if you go over to the book of Acts, everywhere else that baptism was, it was always done in the context of the local church. And it is a local church ordinance. Now, a lot of people mess up on the Bible because they don't know the difference in a local church and a universal church. There are some people who believe, I do not believe this by the way, but there are some people who believe everybody who gets saved becomes a member of the body of Christ. I do not agree with that. The doctrine of being a member of the body of Christ is given to Corinth, the church at Corinth. The what at Corinth? To the church at Corinth. And God says he has set the members in the body as it has pleased him. In what body? In that local body of that New Testament church. So I believe that everybody is saved becomes a believer, but I don't believe everybody that's saved is actually even becomes a Christian, because a Christian doesn't mean you're saved, it means you're what? Christ-like. And there's a main difference in that. And so why? Let me ask you this question. Now, number one, I told you be very careful building your doctrine in the book of Acts. If you want to get the doctrine of baptism, the very best place to get that is Romans chapter number 6. Turn over there with me for a few minutes. We'll look at a couple of verses in Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6 really deals with baptism. Now, there's some people who think this is spirit baptism. I believe, spirit baptism, I don't completely understand. But in this passage of Scripture, I believe it is really talking about water baptism, what happens to you after you get saved. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 3. Know ye not that so many as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Verse number 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. What's the next two word? Like as. It's a picture. It's not, listen, I was talking to a guy the other day, and the guy says, he asked me, where do you go to church? Every time I see him, he's in the nursing home, his mind's going bad. But every time he sees me, he says, are you a pastor? I said, yes, sir, I'm a pastor. He says, where do you pastor at? I said, well, I pastor at Calvary Baptist Church. And he always has a different question, but he says, does baptism wash away our sins? And there are some people who believe that baptism washes away your sins. But I don't believe that. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. I believe it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleansed me from my sins. I believe baptism is a picture of what Jesus went through for us to get that. And so it says, like as, it is similar to that. Like God, Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also do what? Walk in newness of life. And so even tonight when we have our baptism and I tell them, this is my sister, or this is my sister, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and the blessed Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. And so the two things about it is you're showing what Jesus went through, and it becomes your public testimony of faith. The Bible says in verse number five, for we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. And so you put all these things together. This is where we get our doctrine of baptism, where as you're in the water, your body in the water forms a cross, which is a picture of the death. As you go under the water is a picture of the burial. And as you come out is a picture of the resurrection. And it's people telling everyone, I am trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by doing that, they're publicly declaring that they want to live for God. And so that's what baptism is. But and so we disagree. We disagree with some, you know, we don't keep our church unlocked for 24 hours. We don't keep the baptismal full. We don't keep water in it. So you can go out tonight and you can lead somebody to the Lord and bring them in here and baptize them, because that's not a public profession of faith. This is a big deal, and people would be baptized in front of the church, and there would be glory, praising the Lord. The two ordinances, it, I don't know about you, I love baptisms, because baptism reminds me that people are still getting saved. It doesn't tell me that they're not getting saved because I baptize them. They're getting saved by through the blood of Jesus Christ. So why was there an exception made in this chapter? Why was there an exception made, do you think? Where was this Ethiopian eunuch going? He was going back to Ethiopia. Let me ask you a question. Were there Bible-believing Christians in Ethiopia? No, there wasn't. They hadn't scattered abroad yet. But not long after this happened, history tells us a great revival broke out in Ethiopia. I wonder where that revival got started at. I believe this. I believe because this man was on his way home, I believe there was an exception to the rule, and this man had trusted Christ as Savior. We'll look at it in a minute. And he needed to be baptized to go back, because God's order given in Matthew chapter number 28, God's order is first, our first thing is to teach people how to be saved. The second thing is to teach them about baptism. I believe Philip in this passage of Scripture was fulfilling the great commission that was given in Matthew 28, where he says, first we teach them. Well, what do we teach them? The Bible says that he read Isaiah 53. Do you know the Jews hated Isaiah 53? The rabbis, to this day, the rabbis hate Isaiah 53. You know why they hate it? Because they can't explain it. And people say, that sounds like who? That sounds like Jesus Christ. You know why? Because it was Jesus Christ. Well, how do you know that? Because the Bible says Philip started at that same passage, and what did he preach? He preached Jesus Christ. So the very first thing he did was explain Isaiah 53 of how Jesus became like that lamb, became like that sacrifice. Probably because they had been in at Passover, he explained that Jesus was the fulfillment of the Passover lamb. And he had gotten saved. Now, and then undoubtedly, now that we've got to assume some things here, because as they were traveling along, the Bible says, Philip, in verse number 35, the Bible says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. The Bible says in verse number 36, and as they went on their way, they came unto certain water. And the eunuch said, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And let me tell you what it doesn't tell us. It doesn't tell us how long it had passed. We don't know what had happened. But we do know that he took Isaiah 53 and he preached unto him Jesus. And so, we do know this. We know that somewhere along that route, that Ethiopian eunuch trusted Christ as his Savior. You say, how do you know that? Because he said, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, well, he didn't say, well, you can be baptized and you'll become saved, did he? He says, no, wait a minute. Let me make sure you understand this. If you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized. Believe what with all your heart? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus was God. Jesus left the glories of heaven. Jesus came down to this earth. He died on a cross for our sins. He was buried, and 3 days later, he resurrected. And he said, you have to believe with all, and he says, I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, something after Peter, after the Ethiopian eunuch got saved, undoubtedly, Philip continued on with him and explain to him what the next step is in your walk with Jesus, which is what? That you follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Why? Because the Ethiopian eunuch wanted to get baptized. Now, I personally believe, and this is an opinion, okay? I personally believe if he had been headed to Jerusalem, I think Philip would have done this totally different. If he'd have been going to Jerusalem, he'd say, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get to Jerusalem. I'm going to take you and I'm going to introduce you to Pastor James. And Pastor James, we'll get together, we'll have the next meeting we'll have, and you can go before the people and you can get baptized. But there was a problem with that. What was the problem? This was on his way back to Ethiopia. And so this had to be done right now. In order for him to do what God wanted him to do, he was baptized, and I believe he went back over there. And then as a saved and baptized by a member of a local New Testament church, out of that church in Jerusalem, by that he could go to Ethiopia, and you know what he could do? He could lead other people to the Lord. He could baptize people, and they could start a New Testament church right there, just as God had intended it. And so we see as they go that way that he followed the Lord in believers' baptism. It was an interesting thing. The Bible says they both went down into the water. Let me ask you, if you're going to pour, do both people need to go into the water? If you're going to sprinkle, do both people need to go into the water? The only reason that you needed to both people get in the water was what? So that they could be completely immersed. And I think most of us in here tonight understand that immersion is the only mode of baptism. You don't pour, you don't sprinkle. I've shared with you the story of Leo Smith. I just knew Leo Smith wouldn't come to our church anymore. He called me, wanted to talk to me about becoming a member. And Leo Smith was a Methodist and had been sprinkled. I'd already got the message about him, his baptism. He had been sprinkled. And I thought, well, and you say, why would you think something like that? Because, boy, I'm telling you what, people get really mad when you tell them we're not going to accept your baptism. The reason we don't accept everybody's baptism is because it has to be done in the proper mode, which is immersion. It has to be done by the proper authority, which is the local New Testament church, and you have to have the proper candidate, and the proper candidate has to be saved. And so I talked to Leo. I believe Leo is a saved man and stuff, but he wanted to join the church. And I said, well, Mr. Leo, I said, I just got to tell you the truth. I said, we believe that baptism is by immersion, and we do not accept sprinkling. I said, so the only way that you could become a member of our church is you would have to be baptized. And I'm telling you, I was waiting for him to blow up and get all over me and tell me how I thought I was better than him. But you say, why would you think that? Because that's been over and over again. And Leo said, well, you know, he said, I don't mind getting immersed. He said, I believe you're right. I believe it is by immersion. But he said, I can't be laid backwards. If you ever noticed how stiff Leo is, I don't know what the problem was. And I says, well, I thought about it, and I said, well, what about, can you go straight down? He said, well, yeah, I can go straight down. So I called a guy who had a swimming pool, and we baptized him. How many was any of you there when we had the swimming pool? There was some. We took songbooks over. We sang hymns. We baptized him, and it was a wonderful day, and he did that. But it has to be by immersion. You have to have those three things right. The Bible says one of the reasons why I think that it was important for him to be baptized that day is because God made sure that he included something here in verse number 39. The Bible says, and when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. You ever stop to think that God sent Philip? He left this great revival that's going on in Jerusalem and the surrounding areas, called him, said, I want you to go out to the desert over by Gaza. There's somebody over there I want you to meet. He went out there, found the Ethiopian eunuch, took the Bible, led him to the Lord, baptized him, and the Bible says he was caught away. The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the Bible says the eunuch saw him no more. That was the only opportunity that he had to get baptized. We didn't baptize Leo in this church, but we baptized him by the authority of this church. We invited anybody that wanted to come out and do that. And notice what the Bible says the Ethiopian eunuch did. He went on his way rejoicing. Rejoicing why? Because he was saved. Rejoicing that he had followed the Lord in believers' baptism. Rejoicing that now he had God to lead him. He had scripture. I don't know how much scripture he had, but whose copy of Isaiah 53 was he reading? He was reading his. Where'd he get it? I don't know, but I got a feeling he was a wealthy man while he was in Jerusalem. He may have got a copy of everything they had. I found out a long time ago, if you got enough money, you can get almost what you want. And so he went on his way rejoicing, and he never saw them again, but we attribute that revival in Ethiopia to this man who learned from Philip what he needed to do to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Remember, Philip was under the authority of the church at Jerusalem, so it was the right authority. He took him down in the water and baptized him by immersion, so it was the right mode. Philip said, "Except thou believest," he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So it was the right candidate. It was somebody who had been saved and was ready to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. So we don't get our doctrine. We learn a lot of things that line up with our doctrine, but we don't get it from here. We get it from Romans chapter number 6. And that's why tonight at the beginning of our service, I asked both of these candidates tonight if they had trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They both assured us that they had trusted Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, and they wanted to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And so now, here in just a few minutes, we'll be having our closing time. They'll be going to get ready. Sydney's going to sing the Christmas Hallelujah while they're getting ready for us, and we will do the ordinance of believer's baptism. And then, you know, here in Christmas night, we'll be having our services in these two candidates as being a born-again, baptized believers. We'll meet the requirements on that end of being able to partake of the Lord's Supper if they're here that evening. And that's why I always try to baptize before we do that. We have a young lady named Lorelei, one of our bus kids, that told me today that she couldn't be here tonight, but she'd like to be baptized next week. I still haven't talked to the parents. I have to get that. And I think Miss Arian may follow the Lord in believer's baptism next week. So we'll get that taken care of tonight. Beautiful story here. I recommend you just read and think about it. You know, I do believe we have the right answer for baptism. It is a subject that sometimes divides people. We don't want it to divide. We want it to bring us together as we reunite around the Word of God and the doctrine that God has taught us about believers' baptism. So tonight we will be doing that. We'll stand. We'll have a word of prayer. These two ladies are going to make their way, and they're going to get ready to be baptized tonight, and we'll have a word of prayer. Listen, I hope that if God has spoken your heart about anything tonight, if you've never followed the Lord in believers' baptism, when I say the right mode, I'm talking about a local New Testament church. And so if you've never been baptized properly and you would like to do that, if you'd speak to let us know tonight, we'll be able to talk to you this week. And then we would be able to do that. Miss Gail, can you and Miss Stacy head on out and start to get prepared? Deborah, you want to help them out back there? And they'll get ready for baptism, and we'll do that. And then we'll have a closing word of prayer and be dismissed tonight. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for these two candidates. And once again, we just pray for them as they're getting ready tonight. Lord, I pray that our whole church would realize this is a wonderful occasion. He said, the Bible says that the Ethiopian eunuch went away rejoicing. And Lord, I pray that our hearts would be rejoicing tonight, that these two folks have trusted you as their personal Savior and are willing to follow you in believer's baptism. Lord, we pray that you would just bless the rest of the service tonight. And Lord, be with these folks and help them, dear God, as they try to live for you. It's just getting tougher and tougher in this day, as Brother Charles was talking about this morning. And dear God, help us to live for you. Bless the rest of this service in Jesus' name.